Interestingly enough, my oldest grandson, Connor, and I were at the practice round on Wednesday of this year when Tiger won the Masters. Now, we didn't get to see him or many of, because it rained and stormed, and we actually didn't get to see many people. But we were on that golf course watching as many people as we could. Of course, Tiger did make a great comeback, physically, probably emotionally. I remember when Tiger went through his trouble with his wife and his DUI, that Britt Hume, a commentator on Fox News, said one night on national television, what Tiger Woods needs in his life is Jesus Christ. I said, wow, what a statement. We're talking this month about turning setbacks into comebacks. And of course, this is a great comeback for a sports figure to be able to come back after 11 years and win the Masters, one of the most prestigious golf tournaments on the face of the earth. You remember the story of Noah? We sit around and tell kids a story. Well, Noah's neighbor came up to him one day and said, Noah, why are you cutting down all of these trees? You and your boys are cutting down all these trees. He said, well, I'm going to build an ark. Neighbor said, an ark? Said, what is that? He said, well, it's a big boat. He said, well, why are you doing that? He said, it's going to rain. Neighbor said, well, what's rain? He said, well, it's when water falls from the sky. You see, at that time, water was coming up from the bottom of the earth. It had never rained before. So the neighbor said, what's rain? Said, I've never seen that. Noah said, neither have I. He said, well, how in the world did you get this crazy idea to build this big boat, ark thing? He said, God told me. He said, you talked to God? He said, yep. And God said that there was going to be a flood. A flood? Well, what's a flood? He said, well, I don't really understand it yet, but it's going to be really bad. Because God said He's going to wipe out all the creatures, the human beings and the animals off of the earth. Oh. But He did promise me that He would save my family if I would build this ark. So that's what we're doing. The neighbor said, well, you want to borrow my pulling? Well, they didn't really. That's a chainsaw, by the way. Of course, they didn't have chainsaws. Now, I can imagine Noah saying, the neighbor said, hey, you know what? We could use an extra hand. You want to help us build this thing? I don't know how long it'll take, but we sure could use some. Well, I don't know. I'll pray about that. Let me give it some thought before I commit. Well, long story short, in the context of this sermon series, turning setbacks into comebacks, God's created human beings were in a major setback. Think about it. And then think about this. Mankind's comeback is going to rest upon one man and his family, and that man is Noah. Look at this slide with me. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. We know that sin had come into the world through Adam and Eve. And that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Think about that. The thoughts and the hearts of people were all evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was filled with pain. Have you ever, I know we've kind of talked about Noah and the ark and the animals getting on it, and we've seen pictures of it in children's Bible books, but have you ever thought about how much this must have grieved God's heart? You ever thought about what pain this did to the Father who created everything? But what God saw in mankind, He regretted He had made us. Before Noah built the ark, he built a godly life. Noah made a lot of godly choices in his life, just like you. You're saying me? Yeah, you. Many people in this room already stand where Noah stood that in that time in history. Because you have loved God, you have had faith in God, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you have decided to get involved with God's ark, which is Jesus Christ. Now, some of you have not made that choice yet. And so you are still trying to make up your mind whether to get involved in God's ark or not. But you can do, all of us can do what Noah did. He made choices that honored God. If you are living in a setback mode right now, in this moment, if that's where you are, you can allow Jesus to be your ark and have a major comeback. That will be something far greater than any setback you have ever had. The first thing that we can choose. Noah chose to be different than his culture. There's no way to talk about this without kind of being a little preachy, I guess. You've heard me say from this pulpit on more than one time that I believe there's more culture in the church than there is church in the culture. Mankind was broken in Noah's day. And God's heart was broken. And so, as God looked out over the earth, He saw that everything in man's mind, everything in man's heart was only evil. And you come to verse 8, which said, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Out of all the people on the earth, God found one man and promised him, not only will you be saved from this catastrophic flood, but your family will also be saved. And I want you to build an ark so that your family will be saved. I had an interesting conversation this morning during worship practice. Normally when I preach, I come in and sit and listen to Ryan and the praise team, and I go over my notes when they'll turn the lights up out there enough for me to see it. But here's the thing. A guy by the name of Noah, believe us or not, walked back, and Zach, I was sitting somewhere about where you are, and Noah comes and sits right down by me. Noah Matlock, that is. He's 6 years old. His mom sang up here this morning. Richard Wright came out and started putting that big rope around the side so that we could kind of get the early crowd not to scatter all over the room. And it makes it a lot easier to serve communion, and it brings a closeness to that smaller attended service. He was watching Richard, and through the music, he asked me something. I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Are you the boss?" And I was going on with him. I said, "Yeah, man, I'm the boss of this whole thing." You know what he said? "I thought God was." Whoa! "I thought God was. I was looking for a hole to crawl in and I couldn't find one." Noah reminded me. Well, then he wanted to know, "Ryan, if you were the boss." And I said, "No, here's the thing, Noah. We are leaders. We're not bosses. He's the leader of the worship. And I'm trying to be the leader of the whole thing, you know." So I've been blown away by that, because here I'm preaching on Noah, and Noah comes and speaks truth into my heart this morning. Just when we think we're boss, we find out who's boss. Mankind didn't know who boss was except for one man and his family, and that was Noah. In verse 9, we learn that Noah was a righteous man. That means there was all kind of goodness in him while there was all kind of evil in everybody else. It says he was blameless. You couldn't find anything wrong with him when you tried. He was blameless. You couldn't blame him for anything that was bad. Among the people of his time, among everybody, this man was righteous and blameless. And here's the thing, he walked with God. See, walking with God is different than just kind of doing one good thing every now and then for God. When we walk for God, we are with God all the time. That means we have a lifestyle of godly stuff. That's what walking with God's about. It's not just one little stroll down a path every now and then where we do a good deed, or we might have prayed a little bit, or we might have read the Bible a little bit. No, a walk with God means that Noah spent time with God all the time. So who else could God count on to build an ark and save the world? By the way, we are originally descendants of Adam and Eve, but we're descendants of Noah, because all those people are gone. They were wiped out by the flood. I looked at other versions of Scripture to get some more insight about this, and the word that came out for Noah finding favor was the word integrity in one of the versions. Listen to this. I found out about integrity requires that a person only perform actions that square with his or her inner values. And see, what God saw in everybody's heart and mind except for Noah was evil. What He saw in Noah was something godly. He saw a value in there that God could use for replenishing and making this great comeback through this family. In other words, Noah was a man living counter to his culture. And here's where this thought about Noah being different from his culture. He was different spiritually, but he must have been different on the outside, because it was obvious. God looked out, and this man is the one He found. And He saw. You see, it's who we are that determines what we do. It's who we are. See, Jesus came to teach us to live from the inside out. He came to just speak truth into the face of religion. Because religion was all about keeping outside rules. If I do this, if I keep this and keep this and keep this, then I'm a good godly person. That's not it at all. Those religious things like worshiping and reading my Bible and praying to God comes out of a life that has value from the inside out. Jesus came to teach us to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because what's in a man is what comes out of a man. And what was coming out of Noah was godliness. And so God chose him. If we put more culture in our lives than we do God and Jesus, how can we ever expect to find favor in God's eyes? There's no way. There's no way we can, because we're buying in to something that is ungodly. You see, Jesus changes us from the inside, and our inner values dictate our outer lifestyle. Dictate. That means that whatever has the rule in here dictates what I do. It's like living under a dictatorship in a government. You don't do what you want to do, you do what the dictator says. And so whatever is dictating your life will determine what kind of person you are on the outside. Here's what Jesus said about it. Matthew 12. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. If I go back to that fifth verse of chapter 6 of Genesis, listen to this. The Lord saw man was evil, that every inclination of the thoughts of man and in his heart and his mind was only evil all the time. I have some wonderful news for everybody sitting in this room today. I want to encourage you beyond encouragement with this next statement. If you were there, verse 5, every inclination in your life is evil. If you were there, you wouldn't be in here today. You would not be sitting in this room. You would not be worshiping your God. If every inclination of your mind and your heart was only evil, you would not even come onto the parking lot of this facility. So I want to encourage you that you are a whole lot better off than all those people that perished trying to swim around the ark. You are in a better place than there are thousands and thousands and millions more of godly people on this earth than there were in Noah's day. That should make you understand something about yourself. God loves you so much, He wants to encourage you that you don't have to stay in your setback. That He has made a way for you to come back. Second thing, Noah chose to listen to God and not the culture. Did you hear me? The Lord saw. The Lord was grieved. The Lord said, I will wipe mankind from the face of the earth. Everything that breathes will perish except, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the thing. But Noah. But Noah. But Joe. But Roger. But Kim. See what I'm saying? But Fred. But Eric. But John. Lowell. We can put ourselves in that place, that blank. Just say your name, but me. Because you see, God can find favor in you, and He has. He favors all of us so much that He sacrificed His Son, that we can live forever and abundantly. If you've forgotten this, I want to remind you. Satan is a bold-faced liar. And there are too many people in our culture, in our churches, in our communities that have bought Satan's lie. You know what the lie is? There is no hope for you. You are so bad that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. You aren't worth a dime. Satan wants every person that he can get to buy the lie to believe that they aren't worth anything. And every several seconds in our culture, people are checking out because they have believed the lie. Teenagers all the way through adults are trying to get connected to something better than their setback. And Satan will not stop until he continues to drag people away in their setback. Their shame, whatever it might be. Guys, that is our job. That is our ministry. To say to those people around us, in our church family, in our community, in our schools, that you don't have to live in a setback mode. God loves you. You don't have to take your life and leave this world. God comforts, and Satan accuses. Don't forget that. You can make a comeback. There are people in this room this morning that have made comebacks. As bad as it was for them and their setback, they could testify this morning, I am not who I was. And the reason I'm not who I was is Jesus. I suggest that we all strive to be in that phrase, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah listened to God. He didn't know what rain was. He didn't know what an ark was. He didn't know what a flood was. He didn't have a clue what he was about to build, but he built it. Took him nearly 100 years to build it, by the way. And here's the thing. You hear God by being near God. Satan will try to move you away from God in every respect. But whatever you can do to get near to God, you need to get near to God by doing it. It's a connection with God through Jesus and a connection with the body of Christ, to be honest with you. Noah believed that God would keep His promise. He held his faith and he held his obedience for decade after decade after decade. By the way, Noah was 600 years old when he started building this thing. You might scoff at that and say, yeah. That's some kind of biblical time. No, he was 600 years old. You see, I have found that this book to be truth. And if I'm going to believe the New Testament part of it, I got to believe the Old Testament part of it, because it's all truth. If the Bible says he was 600 years old, that's how old he was. It took almost 100 years to build the ark. They did not have chainsaws. They did not have lumber mills. By the way, it was like 513 feet long. A football field is 100 yards. Think about it. It was big. Have you been to the Ark exhibit yet in Kentucky? It's big. You look like a flea standing up against it. You need to go see it. Every Christian should see it, because you've seen pictures, but until you stand by it, and it's to scale. Massive boat. It could hold, I believe, 71,000 animals. The last thing is, Noah chose to do exactly what God told him. Slayton, Don't y'all like Slayton when he speaks? He's kind of, I mean, you like him otherwise, though. But last week he had people stand up like if they brush their teeth every day and flossed. Okay? What were some of the other things, Slayton? Yeah, you drink 8 glasses of water a day. Well, here's what I want to ask you to do. You stand up this morning if you do exactly what God tells you to in His Word. Well, I got to sit down too. See, when you think about it that way, this man didn't have a clue what God told him to do, but he, in faith, did it. He did it. In Hebrews 11, 6 and 7, these words ring true. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, we step out on faith. God, we don't see everything. We can't comprehend everything God has, but we believe and trust God so much that we do what? Faith. We believe that He's going to do what He's going to do, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's faith. And that next verse. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, he couldn't see the whole picture. He didn't know it. In holy fear built an ark to save his family. And that I put that in gold color so it would stand out. One of the issues in our lives and in culture is that we don't fear God like we should. I really believe that. We say, well, God wiped everything out, but He promised not to do that again, and He did. Read the whole 6, 7, 9. God said, I'm not going to do this again this way. He said, but I'm going to build another ark, and His name's Jesus. I'm going to pick one little gal out, about 14 or 15 years old, and the Holy Spirit's going to impregnate her with my son, and she's going to have a child, and that is your new ark. That is your way to be saved from a catastrophic situation. And when Jesus comes back again, it will be a catastrophic situation. Leadership requires courage to make decisions that will benefit the next generation. Every parent, every grandparent, every person that has influence over young people is right there. It is our leadership in the Lord and in Christ Jesus right now that's going to determine what's going to happen with the next generation. And if we don't get serious about what's going to happen to the next generation, the next generation will not love God, and they will not love Jesus. And we need to be more, like Frank said, we need to let people know that there's a family around that will love them. Noah led his family, and God saved his family, and He also saved mankind through that family. Jesus is God's ark to a comeback in life, guys. That's the bottom line. The culture as a whole doesn't understand the Christian or your goal as a Christian. Why do you love Jesus? Why worship? Why do you give your money as an act of worship? Why do you help others? Why do you deny yourself to help other people? Why are you so loving to people that are unlovely? They don't get it. And they can't get it unless we describe it to them in our words and in our lifestyle. Noah's goal was misunderstood until it started to rain. And the water started to rise. The neighbor's up to his chin in water saying, I'll help you. I made my mind up. I want to be in the ark. Only problem is the door's been closed and God closed it and it won't open back. Jesus came and He says, I love you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can be arked to heaven except through me. And here's what we have to get to. I will make a difference by being different. I will listen to God and not the culture. I will do exactly what God tells me to do in order to be on His ark. It's no longer time to say, I can do it. It's, I will do it. It's important that we all understand, without being in Jesus, the ark, you can't be a but Noah. Because God says, through my Son, the ark, you will be saved. So our bottom line is, I will live so that God finds favor in me in His sight.